Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Ah, good, the bad, and the dumb Friday edition. We're getting into the weekend right. A weekend full of college bowl games and a lot of NFL. What's the good of the day?
Well, let's start right there with the college bowl games.
Okay.
And I'm going to focus on helmets.
All right, helmets.
All
yes.
right. Because there's two teams so far that are showing a little bit of tribute
okay,
to Mike
good.
Leach.
Yeah, okay.
The first being Mississippi State. Now, I don't know if this one has been approved yet.
Right.
But what they want to do instead of their traditional, what they usually have an M on the side of their helmet.
M, yeah.
Instead of going with that, they wanted to go with the pirate flag.
Why not? That sounds good.
You know, just for the bowl game.
I saw this. This was like white with a burgundy yeah. color. Of Mississippi State.
So and then like the other one that's doing a tribute, and they are going forward with this, is Texas Tech has a pirate flag on the back of their helmet.
Very cool.
So
very
no
cool.
word yet on what Washington State.
So they're State. Not changing the Texas Tech. They're just
no,
putting
not
a pirate flag
they're just putting
on the
a
back.
Pirate flag on
good.
The back.
Good. That's really great. Great.
So, yeah, no word on what if Washington State's doing anything, though.
Yeah, if I'm Washington. Yeah, Washington State's got a bowl game this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, it might have so. Been a little... Too much of a turnaround. Too quick of a turnaround for that one.
Nevertheless, yeah. It's you know what you are? I bet you hear Mike Leach sort of moments of silence all weekend for like
yeah.
every bowl game. I don't know if it lasts through the season, but at least this weekend, I think everyone will pause to remember Mike Leach. So even if the two teams have nothing to do with him, never didn't play for him, you know, didn't
yeah,
play
just because it was sudden.
It was just sudden, and he's a. He was a fixture in college football. He was a name. He was a recognizable person. And as we did on Wednesday, very influential. A lot of tentacles have been, you know, spread out by Mike Leach from his early days with Hal Mumme in Kentucky all the way through to every stop that he's had. So his influence on the game is permeated through the sport. So, I bet you every stop.
And I hope the NCAA doesn't really care so much about the Mississippi State helmet because that's a total change.
That's a total change, yeah.
You know, I hope that, you know, they look at it for one game. It's like, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, I don't think it's a design thing. I think it's kind of goes back to what are you doing with the helmets? Are they new helmets? Are you taking old helmets and doing them just to keep making sure that the helmet, everybody's got a fitted helmet? It's like what the NFL did.
Okay.
And then the NFL realized, oh, yeah, I think the NCAA is more that than it would be changing
the aesthetics outside.
The aesthetics of your helmet. I think you're right. I don't think they're caring so much about that. I do say it as we talk about it with a lot of things, it's like, you know, if you ever been around a lawyer, they're 5 or 6 steps ahead of like any issue. And I wonder if the NCAA looks at those things like that, where they go, look, we don't want a slippery slope of a team changing a helmet to something political, or you know what I mean? Like something that's just controversial for the sake of controversy. So we don't want to open up the gate too wide. But I think in this case, they probably will say, as long as the helmets stay fitted and they're not brand new helmets that have to be refitted, they've been fitted at the beginning of the season for the players, we're okay with changing it. But you never know with the NCAA. They're silly. But yeah, I hope so too, because they did look nice. Those were nice for Mississippi State. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, we're going to the World Cup.
World Cup bad?
Yeah, because due to a loophole,
yeah,
France could be getting back one of their star players.
Uh-oh. All right, explain this story.
Now, here's what happened. Just before the World Cup began, like literally a week or two began, their star forward, the reigning Ballon d'Or, which is the player of the year,
right?
Karim Benzema, I think he pulled his hamstring. And was ruled out for the World Cup tournament. Now, when I say, I mean, he's the best player, considered to be the best player in the world. Now, the loophole is this. France never replaced him on the roster.
Okay.
He has not played 1 minute in the World Cup. In fact, he has not even been in Qatar. Well, now that they're in the final, he is fit to play, according to his club doctors. And he is now in Qatar.
So, is this controversial?
A little bit, yeah.
In terms, all right, so explain why.
Well, you start the tournament.
I'm just trying to figure out.
No,
like,
no, no.
To me, it sounds like as long as you don't fill a roster spot.
I mean,
if he went there and didn't do a thing, just kind of sat in uniform and didn't do anything.
It's more the gentleman's honor, or, you know, baseball is like, you know, the code of baseball, the unwritten rules. Because he hasn't played any part of this tournament at all. And then all of a sudden you're bringing in, you know, probably the best player in France for
all right,
the final
game. I'm gonna play not devil's advocate. No, I don't know what I'm doing. But if you are Argentina, let's say, or anybody, forget it, anybody that played France, would you not be sort of on the idea of if there's an open spot, meaning they could have brought 22 players and they brought 21?
Yeah.
Then at any moment he could be available.
Right.
Is this any different than an NFL team going, we don't know if Chase Young is coming back, but we didn't fill his roster spot? Or they did. In the NFL, you can do that. But let's say they couldn't or they didn't.
No, so I get what you're saying. I mean,
you know what I mean? They're not kicking a guy off the team before the finals. They're basically saying his spot really was here. It's now he gets to fill it.
Right. No, I totally understand what you're saying. It's not like
but like, in soccer they don't like that. Is that a
well?
Thing?
It's just it feels kind of it almost feels like a dirty trick, a dirty ploy. But you know what? It's completely legal. And then I'll put it to you this way, right? Raheem Sterling, he played with England during the World Cup during the first two games. His house got broken into while he was away, and family got harassed and whatnot. He left the team. And didn't play with them, missed the round of 16 game, but came back for the quarterfinal. So, and no one batted an eye at that.
Right.
You know, because he started and he came back. You know, I mean, Karim Benzema, you know, played every single game during World Cup qualifying, even did the tune-up matches, then got hurt during training leading into the World Cup and was ruled out of the tournament. He is fit to play. France never filled his roster spot. But it's just the fact that probably because it's him. You know, if it was Joe Schmo or whatever French name you want to, you know, Pierre, whatever.
Sure.
And you wanted to bring him in for the final game. You know, I don't think anyone would care, but I think it's because he is the world, considered to be the world's best player, the reigning best player in the world.
So are the rules different for a certain level of player than they would be for the guy that you mentioned?
No.
So it doesn't, because to me, I mean, I'm looking at this from the standpoint of, it just seems like if you
no he, what his, it does what it does Tony is it provides a talking point that no one thought was coming, and then there's a little bit of controversy on top of that.
I guess there's really no way to compare it to sports here because, like I said, like a Chase Young there's a guy there that's filling the 53-man roster.
Yeah, then you can move him off
back and forth. So unless I'm thinking like Olympics where you just are like you're just bringing in Kobe Bryant in 2008 at the last second.
It'd be something like that.
Where like he's not even there.
But we had a roster
spot
open for
him. Private jet is flying in for the gold medal game and Kobe steps out of the plane and you're like, "Oh, we're bringing him." But
that's probably the most accurate way of thinking about this because that's what happened with him. He took a private plane to Qatar and you know, he is coming in, literally walking in and like, I'm just going to be here for one game. I doubt he even starts. I don't even know if he'll play.
Right.
He'll probably be on the bench, but he is available.
Don't they have another problem with like a flu virus that's going around or a cold virus
They're trying to isolate themselves as best as possible. And there was a player, I think it was like one or two players on France who are, you know, almost like as if they're kept in a different hotel.
That's got to be stressful.
That's kind of what happened with Morocco. Morocco's defensive line, all their starters came down with the flu. Now most of them did play, but one of them was still in bed during the final.
Can you imagine if we were like we had 2 weeks of buildup of like Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs against Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. And then on the eve of the weekend, you found out the entire Eagles team had the flu or cold. Getting like 100% of this.
And we're talking it's Chiefs versus Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And we're just getting built up and built up and built up. And then we get to the weekend before the game and then like, oh yeah, the entire offensive team of the Eagles has got the flu. Wouldn't you be like, we're not getting 100% against 100%?
Then you're like, how bad is it, though?
Yeah, right. How bad is it? Ugh. goodness. But well, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'm going to wake up and watch. I'm really excited to see it. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
I'm sticking with the World Cup, Tony.
All right.
The dumb
of
the day.
It's Friday on the eve of the
World Cup,
the
and this
sure.
one's great.
Okay.
British fans are set to break a dubious streak at this World Cup, Tony.
Yes.
You ready for it?
Uh-huh.
Not one fan from England or Wales or any part of the UK has been arrested.
Hey, well done.
Now, there
well
are
done.
A few more days left.
There's
a few more shopping days left, as the kids would say.
Do you think it has anything to do with you might just disappear and never be heard from again?
It could be that. It could be the fact that, you know, alcohol probably plays a part
right.
in British fans' shenanigans and their hooliganism, if you will.
Right.
So the fact that alcohol is hard to come by in Qatar, that, you know, that could have something to do with it as well.
Well done.
It's funny.
Well done, guys. Being careful in a country where you, again, you might.
Now, this may not be entirely accurate, but the reporter who was doing the story, he even said this may not be entirely accurate, but he did do some searching, and he's like, yeah, a British fan has been arrested at every single World Cup there ever was.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do you think he actually researched that, or do you think he just assumed it and figured people would just believe it?
You know
it?
What he probably did? I mean, because, you know, three were arrested in Russia, then he probably went back and was like, well, let's check what happened.
Yeah, he probably went back and went, yeah.
Pretty certain one of them was arrested in Germany. There's probably someone arrested in South Africa.
There was one.
Let's just assume they always get arrested.
You know what's interesting about this World Cup? It reminds me, there's a lot of Olympics where every time we get a build up to a big event like this in countries like this where it's controversial, I always feel like this is going to be a disaster and it's going to be a mess and it never really is. It never really is. Like this seems, I know I don't want to undermine the building of these stadiums and what they went through to build these and all of that, but I didn't see a lot of massive controversy. Like when everyone was talking about, like, oh my God, they're putting fans in storage containers that they've made into a.
And maybe that has something to do with the Qatari officials, not wanting you to film in certain areas or prohibiting you from filming certain. Because that was, I mean, it was it, right? We saw the Danish film crew that got harassed.
Yep. Just before the start of this thing, we thought, oh my God, all hell is going to break loose.
It was that, and then it was at the very last second, no beer.
But then
after that, it's been quiet. We had the, you know, obviously the tragic passing of Grant Wall. And that came up, you know, there were some conspiracy theories that started from that. But then it was determined America, you know, doctors did an autopsy, said, no, it was an aortic aneurysm.
Yeah. So,
you know, that just happens.
And believe me, there's people have gotten some stories out and whatnot. It feels like all the games have gone on time and everything's rolling good and nobody's having a. Doesn't seem to be people having a terrible time and
it's
whatnot.
You know, the main angst of everything has been, you know, this referee hasn't called the game right. Well, every World Cup.
But again,
you have a bad ref or you have a team like Morocco that's kind of spoiling the party for everyone. It's like, well, you're not supposed to be here. What are you doing?
Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm waving the Qatari flag for this thing. I mean, I know all the controversies around it, but. Like when they had the Olympics in Brazil and they kept going, oh, this, look at this. This is not even built well. This is a disaster and this is a disaster.
Yeah, it's going to fall apart.
And this is going to break. Yeah, and then you go, oh my God, these Olympics. And then they just go and then they're done and then everybody leaves. And everybody goes, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, so all of the controversy of Qatar.
We now talk about it afterwards. Like, yeah, you know, right? Bankrupt Brazil. And
yeah. Real quick before we go, is there any idea of what they're going to do with these soccer stadiums that they're done? I mean, is this a hotbed for?
I mean, they have their own
league and everything.
They have their own professional league, and so
the upkeep on they got money. Don't get me wrong, but what do you do with them? Like,
that's part of the problem too. I mean, you're probably going to see reports after the final whistle is blown. You'll start seeing reports next week. Because one of the things that they said, what Qatar said they were going to do, was like, we will tear down these stadiums brick for brick and rebuild them in an area that, you know, give them to a club team that needs them.
Oh, okay.
That was part of their selling point.
That I'm waiting. You know what? That I want to see. I want to see. When the cameras are off, that's what I want to see what happens there if they actually do that.
Yeah. I imagine they're going to keep a few.
We'll see.
I just don't think.
Because those are nice stadiums.
Yeah. I just don't think professional soccer is big enough there.
Yeah. It's a country, what, the size of Connecticut?
Yeah.
And they've got these massively awesome, modern soccer stadiums.
80,000 seat stadiums.
Yeah. What are they going to do with them? All right.
There aren't enough people to fill them, right?
Exactly. All right. As we continue, it is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.